This week's mailbag comes from Sarah. She writes, "Halfway through your podcast today, I had to stop and order your household operations binder. You just blew my mind. It's been sitting in my cart for a couple weeks, but your podcast made me realize I need it and now. We're having a babysitter 3 days a week this summer. We've never had a sitter in our home like this. I always sent my kids to a stay-at-home mom. It never even crossed my mind what this will mean. My kids are 6 and 8. The toddler is still going to his regular childcare, so this sitter can do chores for me while she's here. Holy cow, the list for her to do just expanded. So now I need to do this binder ASAP so she knows what she can do for me. Oh my gosh, this is why I love you, Lisa." Thanks for writing, Sarah. Do you have an organized 365 success story? We'd love to hear about it. Send us an email at lisa@organized365.com and let us know how you've changed your life and your home with Organized 365.
Welcome to the Organized 365 podcast. I'm your host, professional organizer, productivity expert, and motivational speaker, Lisa Woodruff. This podcast will help you embrace progress over perfection and create lasting functional organizing in your home. I have so much to share with you, so let's get started. Today on the podcast, I want to talk to you about the whole process of going from being unorganized, overwhelmed, living in clutter to living an organized life. And it's actually a three-step process. And often what people do is they latch onto one of these steps and they try to do the whole process by only doing one of these steps. And these steps are decluttering, organizing, and decorating. And often when you follow someone who is a professional organizer or who is going to help you get organized in general, they may talk about organizing, but they're actually focusing on the process of decluttering and or decorating. Few people truly focus on the actual art of organizing. So here's how you can remember these three steps. Decluttering is easy. Organizing is hard, and decorating is fun. Okay, you might be like, I do not think that decluttering is easy. Well, it's easier than organizing. And you may not think that decorating is fun, but it is fun to walk in and see a room that is completely decorated and organized, looks like a magazine, looks like Pinterest. Each of these steps that you go through in the process of getting organized, decluttering, organizing, and decorating, they each take a certain amount of time also, and organizing for sure takes the longest amount of time. Decluttering. Often when people say they're going to get organized, when you say I am going to organize this room or I am going to get organized, what is the first thing you do and the first action you take? Yeah, you grab a black trash bag, you walk in that room, you walk in that space, you get in your email and you delete, discard, trash, donate. What can we get out? Get out, get out. I want a big bang. I want to lower the amount of clutter around me. What's trash? What belongs somewhere else? What can I donate? What can I get rid of? What can I sell? What is no longer serving me at this phase of life? Truly decluttering, just the act of decluttering, doesn't take very long. Because decluttering is getting rid of anything that you no longer want, need, or use. Now, granted, I say it doesn't take very long. The first time I quote unquote organized my house and went through my own program in 2012, where all of my spaces were so overwhelmed and cluttered, I actually went through the equivalent of the 100-day program. And basically all I did was declutter. I didn't organize anything. And I figured that out the second time I went through, when there was no organization in any of these areas, there was just a lot less stuff. So sometimes if you're really, you've neglected your space for a long time, you've gone through a hard time, you just haven't had the time to keep up and maintain, or maybe there was never any organization to begin with, it may take a long time to declutter the first time you do something. But often, once you've gone through and done a really big purge, a really big decluttering, every time after that that you go into a space, there's not nearly as much stuff to declutter, because decluttering really is easy. It's where you're scanning a room. What's trash? What doesn't belong? What don't I want anymore? And once you make that decision, the things are out. You can often get a big win. This is when you could spend a day or a week. You could spend spring break or winter break or, you know, Labor Day, going through and just clearing out as much as you can. And at the end, you really feel great. You feel great for a couple of reasons. One, decluttering is extremely physical. So you get that physical release as well as seeing your space organized. Two, other people will jump in with you, family members, friends, because we're decluttering. We're moving a whole bunch of stuff out. We can see what's happening and we feel better when we can see physically this big transformation in our space by getting rid of things. What I find, and I've mentioned before, is that decluttering is really kind of addicting. You really love that big bang and that feeling that you've gotten rid of a lot of things. And so you go into the same space a couple days later, a couple months later, and you want to have that same feeling. So you look around to declutter, only this time there's really not much there that's trash you don't want or you don't need. What's left is stuff that you real kind of do like and you do need. And if you don't move into organizing, and you continue to force yourself to become more minimalistic and more decluttering if it's against your grain. I know minimalism is a great new movement that a lot of people are jumping on the bandwagon for. I'm not a minimalist. And so if I declutter too much, I start to feel like I'm giving away things I really wanted in order to try to get that organizing feeling or that feeling I felt the first time I did a really big decluttering. I know when I organize my kids' rooms, I still feel this way because somehow, wow, do they collect a lot of stuff. We joke, my daughter has a gerbil, that her bedroom is kind of like her gerbil cage and we have to completely clean it out. Like there is so much to get rid of. But even she has gotten really good at not collecting all the stuff that she doesn't want, love, and need anymore. And so we don't get that big bang feeling of decluttering her room other than getting all the clothing out. Getting all the clothing out and into the laundry room is the biggest bang we can get. And pretty much the rest of the stuff is going to stay. We just need to do organizing. Okay, so decluttering is easy. Organizing is hard. Decluttering, you could do that in a day, a week, maybe a month. If you're in the extreme situation where I was, yeah, maybe one whole cycle of the 100-day program. But once you do it, it's done. Organizing is hard. Now, I don't want to scare you off, but it's kind of like, you know, when you sign up for a class, when Greg started in college, he picked whenever classes sounded good to him. And zoology sounded like fun because that means animals. He came to find out there are no animals involved in zoology at all. It's a very hard course and it was not a course he should have been taking as a freshman in college. He wished someone would have said, hey, you're a business major. You know, you might not want to be in that zoology course, okay? I'm not saying you shouldn't get organized, but I am saying it's harder. It's harder than decluttering. It's very, very mental, and it takes a while. Like, it could take a good year to 18 months to truly get your whole house and paper and business organized. It is worth the time investment. It's worth the mental investment. It will reap so much time on the other end, but it's not a quick fix to truly get organized. So I'm going to get back to organization, but let's jump into decorating. Decorating is fun. Oh my gosh, it is so much fun. You can decorate a space, you know, in a day, a week, at most a month. You decide what the paint colors are going to be. You go buy some more neat things for your bookshelves. You get different carpeting or, you know, you get the latest trends. You're looking in the magazines. You can go to the stores, find all of the stuff to put in your decorating. You get to go shopping. You get to spend time on Pinterest. You get to take a before and after picture. And in a matter of days, the space looks totally different. You can change your style. And it's so fun. People love to know what you're doing when you're decorating, or they love to know how many bags did you get rid of when you decluttered. Decorating, again, you could do a space in a day. I'm going to do my closet, and I'm going to do that in a weekend. I'm going to totally take out all of the shelving and redo all of the shelving in one weekend, which isn't totally decorating, but it kind of is. I've already decluttered. I've already organized. So in a closet, new shelving is decorating. Decorating is really fun. It gives you a great before and after picture. Often when we're in the organizing stage, you can literally, this is why I don't post before and after pictures. I could show you a before picture of my desk drawer that doesn't look very unorganized. And then I could show you an after picture of the desk drawer that looks maybe a little bit more organized. But to me, I cleared out old pens. I organized everything the way I wanted. I reorganized something. Everything's all straightened up. Like, it looks and feels and functions so much better, but a picture just doesn't do it justice. You know, you get a great before and after picture with decluttering or with decorating, but you don't get a great before and after picture with organizing. All right, decluttering is easy. Organizing is hard, and decorating is fun. Let's dive into organizing is hard. Why is organizing hard? What steps do we go through when we're organizing a space, organizing family members, organizing our personal memories, and organizing our paper? What are some of the things that we run into? Let's start with organizing a space. When you decide to organize a space, and why we have the 100-day home organization program goes through every space in your house 3 times every year. We start around January 1st. This year, we're going to start on January 7th. We start around Memorial Day, usually a little bit before, and we start on Labor Day. Those are the 3 times that we start the 100-day program every single year. And once you're in it for life. So you just go over and over and over and over again. Why do we do that? Well, number one, you need to touch a space, go through and organize a space 3 times. I know, right? Like, what do you mean? I get to declutter it in 1 time. I get to decorate it in 1 time. And actually, I've lived in my house 22 years. I decorated it 20 years ago. And now we're starting to redecorate all those spaces. Decorating can last 10, 20 years. Like, you don't have to redo it very often. Why, Lisa, do I have to go through the same spaces in my house 3 times? Well, there are a few reasons why. First of all, each of the spaces in your house function differently in the different seasons. So your kitchen functions differently in the spring, summer, and fall. And your closet functions differently in the spring, summer, and fall. And your storage room functions differently in the spring, summer, and fall. Not extremely differently, but subtly differently. So I keep all of my clothing in my master closet. It's not like I have my clothing stored anywhere else in my house. So you would think that go in there, organize it, you're done. Not really. Because I only really have the framework in my head right now when I go in my master closet of what I just finished wearing for the summer season and what I'm currently wearing for fall. I can't remember what I wore last winter. I have foggy memory over that. Plus, I'm not really sure what I want to wear this winter. Like, I've kind of moved away from turtlenecks, and it's a slow transition. Like, the way you transition your clothing is slowly, and you have most memory of the season you just ended. So right now, even though I'm looking at my fall and winter clothing, I'm not nearly going to purge what I should because I'm not sure if I'm going to wear it. Whereas if I think back to what I wore in the summer, there are definitely pieces that I never wore this summer. They just either don't fit my body the way they used to, or they didn't wear well, and so now they're shrunk a little bit, or it's just not my style anymore. You know, as we age, our style changes. How formal we are, informal, or how we spend our days. And so we are much better at purging the season we just finished than the season that we're going into. Same thing with your kitchen. It's much easier to go through your barbecue marinades and all of your grilling tools at the end of the summer than it is to anticipate your baking and your turkey and all of those, your crock pots and all of those things that you are going to use in the winter. Like, we're all thinking about, you know, nice pumpkin things and stews and soups, and these are all opportunities that we might make. And as we're cleaning out our kitchen, we're clearing out what we didn't use from the last season, but we're also taking inventory of what we have for the next season. When we go through the kitchen again in January, we'll be like, oh yeah, I thought I was going to do a lot of baking, but in hindsight, I haven't really baked in the last 5 years. So maybe baking is just not a trend for me at this time in life. So spaces, we need to go through those 3 times a year. And the process of organizing is much slower than the process of decluttering. You can go through your kitchen 3 times and decide what you want to declutter. But in organizing, you kind of have to try it out. So one of the things I often say in organizing the kitchen, which many, many people latch onto, and I love this, is having a drink cabinet. So often when I would organize people's homes, they had drinking glasses one place, like alcoholic glasses one place, water glasses somewhere else, water and juice glasses, mugs somewhere else. All their little Keurig pods and coffees and hot chocolate were stored in multiple different locations. Their smoothie maker was somewhere else. All these things that constituted drinks or beverages were literally stored in almost every single cabinet in the kitchen. Different pieces and parts all over the place. Mine used to be the same exact way. And I remember one of my very first organizing clients, she had five children, and they literally, this is when I realized, because my children were still in grade school at the time, this is when I realized that once your kids hit high school and college, literally they drink almost all of their calories. So she had a bunch of high school and college age students. Plus, she and her husband, there were seven people in the family. And when I cleared out her kitchen cabinet, there were protein mixes and smoothie mixes and coffees and teas and hot chocolate and like all the things. And everybody had their favorites and everybody had the special cups that they wanted. It was the kitchen was literally drowning in drinking apparatuses and things that we were going to drink. And they would have family dinner, but really almost all lunches and breakfast were either drank or not eaten at home. There wasn't a lot of lunch and breakfast stuff going on at the house. And that's when I decided to do this drink cabinet above this certain countertop. And on that countertop, we had the bullet machine and the smoothie machine and the coffee maker. They had two different kinds of coffee makers. And then above that, in that cabinet, was everybody's favorite cups and whatever for the season. So if we only had one coffee drinker in this season, we just had five mugs and that was it. The rest were packed away in order to make more room for smoothies. And then in the winter, when it was more hot chocolates and they weren't in as many sports and there wasn't as many smoothies and proteins and everything, those came out and made way for more mugs. And I was like, all right, I'm going to try this. I've never done this before, but I really think this is going to make your kitchen flow so much better, because I moved this drink cabinet over to where the built-in desk area was, because they weren't using the built-in desk area, that was out of the flow of mom making dinner for a family of seven that were coming in and out everywhere. And the husband came in right at the end. He goes, this is not going to work because the coffee maker is so far away from the sink. And I was like, yes, but when you take the craft out to fill it, you have to take it out of the machine to fill it. So you're just going to have to walk seven more steps to fill it instead of one step to fill it. And he was like, this is not going to work. Like, I don't like this at all. I said, please give me 1 week. And this family has known me for a long time. And he's like, whatever. So, and his wife was like, please just let her try it for 1 week. So they set it up. And 1 week later, they were like, game changer, game changer. I've got all my teenage and college age kids over in an area of the kitchen I'm not in, getting all of their drinks and everything that they want. I can totally make and clean up kitchen. And it made two different total zones for seven people, adult sized people, mind you, that were in this kitchen all of the time. Now, you may hear that story and be like, oh, that is a great idea. Okay, number one, this is not easy. This is definitely hard. We need to change our family members' patterns of where they put stuff away. Like even today, my daughter will put stuff away where things used to be instead of where the new organization is, because they don't remember that we've organized spaces. So they have to change where they look things, change for where they put things away, change how they fill the coffee water. You know, you're changing people's habits when you rearrange your kitchen. But in this case, it was perfect. And now almost all of their kids are in college. Some are married. They have a grandbaby on the way. And it's great. Now when they have everybody in for these big family dinners again with extended boyfriends and husbands and all that, they still have this drink bar area where they go and they get whatever the drinks are. And she can still make the cooking and all of that and not bottleneck their kitchen. Organizing. Organizing is really looking at your stuff, your space, your family, your phase of life, and taking all of that into consideration and thinking about, okay, if I was starting over from scratch, if we were moving into this house today, which is hard for a lot of people to do, to separate yourself from the actual house that you're currently in. If I was moving into this space today with the family I have and the stage of life that we're in, how would I set up this kitchen? And for so many of us, You too have lived in your house 20 years like I have. When we moved into this house, we did not have any children. Now I've got a kid in college and a kid at junior in high school, right? We've lived here for a long, long time. So when I go to organize my kitchen and I pull everything out of the cabinets, then I think, okay, how has our family changed? How would this better be arranged? Now, I don't do it every single time and I don't do it every year, but I would say that you're going to do this about every 5 to 7 to 10 years, depending on how old your kids are. If your kids are little, you are doing this about every 5 years. Your whole entire life changes every 5 years as your children go from childhood to grade school, to middle school, to high school, to college. Each of those transitions radically changes how you use your kitchen and your entire house. Embrace that. Think about, if I were moving into this house today, how would I have everything work? Which then leads to our family, okay? Organizing is hard with our family. Not everyone in your family is naturally organized. Maybe you are not naturally organized and you're listening to the Organize 365 podcast and you are learning the skill of organization. I have told you over and over again, it is a learnable, teachable skill. You are learning it. It changes in your mind first and then in your physical actions. And now you're ready to start teaching your children, your husband, these organizing tactics. So you have to take what you have just learned and you need to teach the people around you. Also, organizing takes time. And my husband is a minimalist. He doesn't have a lot of stuff, but I cannot for the life of me get that guy to go through his closet. He's done it once fully with me and one other time where he did it on his own, kinda. And I want to redo this closet. And so I pulled some of his clothes out and put them on the bed. And he just gave me this look like, woman, not now. And I was like, okay. And I put them all right back in the closet. Like, I just know, like, it has to be his idea. It has to be his idea. And furthermore, he doesn't have a lot of stuff. He has way too many shirts. But other than that, he doesn't have a lot of stuff. So I can force him to organize his clothing, which I'm not going to do. Or I can wait until he's ready. And you know what? You have to be okay with the fact that he may never be ready. He may never be ready to go through and declutter his shirts. They're going to get really wrinkled the way he's shoving them in there. But he just may never be ready. Whenever you're thinking, oh, it's really driving me crazy because so-and-so, blah, 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 stop. Focus on yourself. Do you know how many more projects I still have to organize around here? And your family may not have the focus and desire to organize that you do. I will say it over and over and over and over again. Don't focus on your family, focus on yourself. Ladies, we have so many projects that we need to do in this house that when you're done with every single thing that you can possibly organize, then and only then can you focus 100% on your spouse and your children doing the rest of the organizing. I'm never going to get there. Are you going to get there? No, we're constantly creating more stuff. We're creating more problems. So organizing is difficult because you need to deal with the different people personalities. The other reason why organizing is hard is because there is so much personal, emotional, mental things that you're dealing with when you're organizing. This is why professional organizers, when they realize that they're good at organizing and they finally do go out and organize other people, they're like, oh, this is so easy. Yeah. Because you don't have all the emotions around this stuff. It's really easy for you to go into somebody else's house and apply your organizational skills and say, I'm sorry, but 300 stuffed animals is too many. You can have 30. And you could stand there and be pretty resolute with that with a 12-year-old. And the 12-year-old will be like, no, but I need all the stuffed animals. And you're like, all right, fine, you can have 60. But we're getting rid of, you know, like 240 of these stuffed animals. Sort all your bears, sort all this. Because you see it as a puzzle. You see it as an organizing thing. That 12-year-old, those are her friends. Those are her people. Like, you're taking away family members when you get rid of Clifford the big red dog, even though she has 7 of them. She remembers when she got all 7 of them. Organizing our own stuff is emotional. It's hard. We remember when we got it, how we saved the money, who gave it to us, what phase of life we were in when we got it. It brings back a lot of memories, which leads to we don't get rid of a lot of this stuff because they're not finished projects. Top of which would be photos, kids' artwork and memorabilia, kids' clothing that we want to turn into a quilt. You know, we have all of these kinds of memory products and projects that we're holding on to that we need to do. Now, It takes at least a year to 18 months to get your home and paper organized, not counting these projects. Because photos, which I'm still not talking about yet, is the reason why is to get your photos really organized and archived is going to take years. Years. It's a long ongoing project that you really need to block out, like Friday mornings from 9 to 12 or Sunday nights from 5 to 8. I work on photos, and you just block it out for the next 3 years on your calendar, and you just eat that elephant one bite at a time. You have an area of your house dedicated to that. You put all the photos there. It takes a long, long time to make your own history book out of photos. Okay, this is what we do after the rest of the house is already organized. Kids' clothing, collecting all the kids' clothing, deciding which pieces you want to use, sending them off to Once Upon a Time, which organize365.com/once, O-N-C-E, will tell you how to get there. That's going to take you weeks or a month just to even collect the stuff to send it off. Now, if you want to make your own quilt, now we're talking 6 months. 6 months to do that with all your kids' clothes. Kids' artwork and memorabilia can done, usually you could do one child per weekend and put them into binders. These are all big projects, in addition that you will do after you organize your entire house and all of your paper. So we have household things to do, and then we have memorabilia projects to do. The other reason why organizing is hard is because it's really, really lonely. You know, I mean, you can get the family involved in decluttering. You and a girlfriend can pace partner each other in order to get your house decluttered. You can go shopping with a friend to decorate your house, which is fun. But organizing your underwear drawer or organizing all of your nuts and bolts into a new organizer or going through all your spices to figure out what, I mean, it's lonely. Like, you're doing it by yourself. You're not in a big group. It's not necessarily fun. And then you're like, there's so many other things I could be doing. Really? I really want to be checking my spices right now. But here's the thing. If you don't do the spices right now, when are you going to do it? Oh, it's so great to walk in and know that everything in your kitchen is organized and not expired. But it takes time to do that, right? And we just don't have that wow, no matter what. Like, so great. Your pictures of your before and after going through your spices, moderately better. It's not like, oh my gosh, I can't believe what you did with your spices. Look what I did with my spices. No, you know, like you don't get that wow factor. Now, what I love about the 100-day home organization program, which if you don't know what I'm talking about, just go to organize365.com and you'll see this is how we organize our home, the course that I've created for you to go through your home in a systematic way that adds on itself. We start in the kitchen and we end in the storage room. And what happens every time, my favorite weeks of the year, next year will be the second weekend in January, the first weekend in June, and the second weekend in September. Do you know why? Here's why. Everyone who goes through the 100-day home organization program the first time feels great because they see themselves moving stuff out, but they look around and they go, I don't know. First of all, they forget. They have amnesia. They forget what their house looked like 100 days prior, and they're like, I think I made progress in that 100-day thing, but there's still so much left to do. Because you just can't get it done the first time or the second time through. It takes three times through. So you're like, all they're doing is looking around at what they have left to do that has not been done yet. They cannot remember what it was like when they started unless they take pictures like I tell you to do, but most people don't. And then they go, well, I really just don't think I made very much progress and there's just so much more to do until we start the next time. So we start the next time. We start back over in the kitchen. And on day 8, usually before then, but by day 8, that is when in the Facebook group, I see it over and over and over and over and over again. And I love it. Keep posting it. People post all the time. Oh my gosh, I had no idea how much progress I made last time. Like, my kitchen is so much more organized than it was the last time. I didn't realize how much better my home is having done the 100-day program the first time. You can't see the progress you're making until you go back into those spaces the second time. Decluttering, that's easy. You declutter a room, you take it all to Goodwill, you take it out of the trash can, you walk in at the end of the night and you go, I could see the floor, this is great, that decluttering was great. Or decorating is fun, you take everything down, clean it up, buy some new stuff, put it on, you walk into that room the next day and you go, I'm so glad I bought that elephant, I love that I moved that picture over there, this room looks great, I love how it's decorated. You can organize your house for 100 days. And some of you are in the middle of the 100-day challenge going, how do you know that that's exactly what I'm thinking? This is not my first rodeo, people. And you walk in and you go, I think it's better. Like, am I really getting organized? And you doubt yourself until you get to that space the second and the third time. And you're like, whoa, I really did make progress. It's really hard for your mind to notice the gradual organization that you are making when you are organizing. Okay, the last area I'm going to talk about is paper. So I have the Sunday basket and work boxes. The Sunday basket is the solution to your kitchen counter pile, your to-dos, your ideas. What do I do with all of this actionable paper that I have? We put it in a box and we go through it every Sunday. Now, when you start the Sunday basket program, I give you slash pockets. And slash pockets are like plastic binder inserts that have tabs on them, that have five tabs. But mine are a little bit different. You get red, orange, yellow, green, blue, a set of five. And we call that the 1.0. And those are the things you do every single week. Pay your bills, put things on the calendar, figure out what errands you have to run, what do you have to do this week. That everybody does every week. And then I give you this set of 20 slash pockets in four colors. So five pink, five purple, five blue, and five green. And I give you direction. The pink are for you, the purple are for your house, the blue are for your family, and green is for finances or any really part-time job that you have that's like less than 5 hours a week. And that's the direction I give you. And in the workshop, I walk you through how do you decide what those 20 slash pockets are. Here's where organizing is hard. Decorating's fun. The box looks great, right? So that part's great. And decluttering is great because you sort all your papers. It's really easy to find out what you're going to shred, what you're going to recycle, and what you're going to keep. That part isn't hard. The hard part of the Sunday basket is organizing. Which pocket does it go in? I mean, we literally have so much support around this. We have, if you're in All Access, we literally go through your Sunday basket with you every single week with a professional organizer for 90 minutes so you can ask your questions live. And then I jump in the Facebook group every other week for 30 minutes and answer all of the pre-submitted questions. Organizing paper is not easy. It's hard. You're like, I got it. The Sunday basket, this thing sounds great. I'm going to get that. You buy it. And you're like, okay, I understand bills to pay. I understand errands to run. I understand checking my calendar. Okay. Personal slash pockets, do I have goals? What would a personal paper be? I don't even see you get stuck. And it does not matter. I have a whole podcast. Go find the Sunday Basket podcast. The first 8 episodes will tell you exactly how to make your own Sunday basket. And people still will ask questions all of the time. People ask questions in the Facebook group. People ask questions every single week in the live presentation if you're in All Access, because paper organizing is hard. I'm not sure if this is a personal paper or a household paper. It could be either one. Whoa. I want you to tell me if it is a household paper or if it's a personal paper. We do. We want more direction. We want to know that we're doing it right. We want to make sure that we have our slash pockets full. I just came out with 6 work boxes. So we have 6 different work boxes. Number one question we get coming into my email inbox is, I don't know if I'm supposed to have the corporate, the direct sales, or the entrepreneur workbox, which obviously I just recorded a podcast on that. So now you know. So now the question we get, I'm not sure if I'm a homeschool or a teacher workbox because they're both teacher related. And we're just not really sure which one is for us. And each of these workboxes come with trainings and they come with how you can label your 2.0 slash pockets, the pink, purple, blue, and green slash pockets. And we have a Facebook group for that. So everybody in the workboxes are in a Facebook group. Twice a month I go in there and I answer any questions that are in that group. You want me to tell you what your pink slash pockets should be called and your purple slash pockets called so you can just get it organized and be done. But here's the thing. No 2 Sunday baskets and no 2 workboxes ever are going to be exactly the same. Now, the only caveat I would say to that would be possibly in teacher, direct sales, and corporate. And in that instance, I would say if a school system, if a corporation, if a direct sales company decides to adopt one of the organized 365 workboxes, which we are trying to do with all of those areas, and they say, okay, our school system is going to use this teacher workbox, then in that case, yes, I am going to be able to tell you that here's how your blue pockets are labeled and here's how your purple pockets are labeled, because it will be district specific or corporation specific or direct sales specific. But even in that, I could tell you what your blue slash pockets are going to be, but possibly not your pink or purple, which is going to be individualized for your job. So in every single instance, these, I could give you the parameters to start. I can give you all of the supports to ask your questions and give you real-time answers. But the actual organization of your house, of your paper, of your Sunday basket, of your workbox is going to be tweaked and individual for you. And even once it's individual for you, still gonna change over time. I know, are you kidding me? Like, once I get this all set up, I'm gonna have to change it? Yep, not right away. But if you're in your 20s, probably every 3 to 5 years. If you're in your 30s, probably every 5 to 7 years. If you're in your 40s, I would say every decade, like 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, it's gonna change. The people living in your house are gonna change. The house you live in is gonna change. The job that you have is gonna change. The age of your children, grandchildren, spouse is going to change. And so your organization is going to change. So this is why I say decluttering is easy. Organizing is hard. And decorating is fun. So hopefully that gave you a full picture of the whole process of getting organized. Starts from deciding this is it. I'm done. I'm going to get organized, which usually starts with a big, huge decluttering clearing out. And then often people stand and go, what's next? Where do I start next? This is why the binders, the workboxes that I have in the 100-day program have gotten so much success for so many people, because it's not like you've stopped wanting to get organized or even necessarily that you've run out of time. You just ran out of knowing what to do next, because decluttering was easy and organizing is hard.